This morning I want to encourage you to turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 20. 2 Kings chapter 20. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 7. We'll be looking at the message, getting ready to die. Getting ready to die. That's not a hugely popular message for Sunday morning, but we all need to be ready to die. We all need to be ready to go, whether we're a Christian or whether we're lost. We need to get prepared to go and stand before the Lord. As a Christian, we stand before the judgment seat of Christ. As a lost person, you stand before the great white throne judgment. And you stand there before Christ as He judges you as a lost person, because all judgment is given unto Him by the Father. So He'll be doing all the judging. We do need to be prepared for death. We need to be prepared as a Christian. We need to be prepared for that time to come when we meet the Lord. And we'll get into that a little bit more in depth in just a few moments once we've read these scriptures. I want you to stand with me as God's Word is read. 2 Kings chapter 20, verses 1 through 7. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And it came to pass after Isaiah was gone out of the middle court, that the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will heal thee. On the third day thou shalt go up unto the house of the Lord, and I will add unto thy days 15 years, and I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for mine own sake and for my servant David's sake. And Isaiah said, Take a lump of figs, and they took it and laid it on the boil, and he recovered. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be in your house today. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for the blessing that it is to our lives. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your gift of salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for our brothers and sisters in Christ who are faithful to come and gather together and to worship you and give in support of this work. Lord, we just ask you to be with us in a special way today. Help us, dear Lord, to be reminded of the fact that we will leave this old earth one of these days as Christians, whether it's through death or sleep, whether it's through the rapture, whether it's through being changed and caught up. And Lord, those that are lost will leave this earth one of these days. And Father, we ask you just to help us, dear Lord, as we look at the subject of getting ready to die, getting ready to leave this earth, being prepared, dear Lord, for that time when you say it's time to come home. And Father, we ask you just to be with all those that are sick at this time, all those that are absent this morning, away from us. We know that there are many sick and traveling, and Lord, we ask you just to be with them in a special way. Father, we ask you to bless our pastor, Lord. I know it hurts him, Lord, to not be able to be in your house and to break the bread of life. before his congregation. But Lord, we ask you, dear Lord, just to comfort him and his not being able to be here and helping to be a comfort to his wife. Thank you again for loving us the way that you do. In Jesus' name, we praise you and thank you. Amen. You may be seated. On the subject of death, of course, I've read all the scripture down. You know the end there. But on the subject of death, we like to, I think, more than anything, avoid that subject. We'd rather talk about life. We'd rather talk about living. We'd rather talk about the joy of life and the blessings of life and all the good things that are going on around us. And we'd rather enjoy life and have a good time here. But we need to be mindful of the fact that we need to get everything in order and be ready for the day that we depart this life. We need to be ready for that time when the Lord says, you're coming home to be with me. Whether it be through sickness or any other manner, He's going to tell us to come home to be with Him. In this day and time, in our life and that we live, we buy death insurance, which is called life insurance. It's not going to insure us not dying, but what it does is provide for those that we've left behind. And hopefully we've done that. Hopefully we've prepared along that lines. Hopefully we've prepared in order that our families don't suffer financially because of our leaving earlier than what we thought we would leave. Amusing, I guess, that we call death insurance life insurance. But we call cemeteries memorial gardens. And they are places that we go to and remember our loved ones. The king here that we're looking at was told that he needed to get ready to die. He was told that his life was going to be taken away. Isaiah came in and told him to set his house in order. In this day and time, it would be quite a shock to us if Brother Allen came to our house and knocked on the door, came in and said, "Well, Brother Rusty, sorry to tell you this, but the Lord told me to tell you you were going to die." So, it would be a shock, wouldn't it? I mean, it'd scare you to death. It'd be a shock to any of us if someone as a messenger came to us and told us, "You're going to die. Your life is fixing to end." In Hezekiah's case, he had a prophet come to him and tell him and share this message from the Lord. Well, the Lord's word tells us that we are going to die. Now, he doesn't tell us exactly when, like he told Hezekiah. But he told us that a man is born a few days and will suffer death. In fact, Job wrote that. Now, we know that we need to prepare for death, but how many of us do? How many of us really do prepare for death? How many of us do have the life insurance or the place picked out where this old body will lay? How many of us have prepared for the death that will eventually occur in our lives? Hezekiah was sick, and he was told he would die. Now, some folks get that message from a doctor. I remember a few years back, well, actually 10 years back, my older brother was at the ER, and I was called to the ER. He had been hit in the head by somebody, and he was suffering, and he didn't want to have any x-rays taken, so they called me and said, "Come encourage your brother to get these x-rays taken. We need to find out whether or not he's got, you know, bleeding in his head or anything else going on. And so I rushed up to the ER, and I said, Woody, now you need to take these x-rays. They want to find out whether you've got some bleeding going on or what's wrong with you in your head since you've been hit in your head as hard as you have. And he said, no, I'm not going to have any x-rays taken. I'm not going to do that. Now, they're not going to make me do it. Well, so my brother-in-law, Gene, was called. He came up, and he was as close, he's as close to my brother as I am. And he said, now, Woody, you're going to have those x-rays taken. Because if you go out of here, the hospital's going to be responsible if you drop dead out there or you have a concussion and it's not seen or you have something else going on. He said, well, all right, I'll go take the x-ray. I'll give it him. I've had enough encouragement. So he went in. He had the x-rays. He was going to have the x-rays done, and I needed to go somewhere else and get something else done. So my brother-in-law stayed with him. And my brother, after they had taken the x-rays, he was sitting in a room with my brother-in-law. And they were sitting there just talking, chewing the fat, so to speak. And this lady doctor came in, and she said, which one of you is Woody? He said, I am. And she said, well, I hate to tell you this, but you have leukemia, and you probably won't live till Christmas. This was in October. Not very good bedside manner for a doctor. I mean, just blunt. It's kind of like Isaiah here. Hezekiah, you're going to die. Woody, you got about 3 months to live. You got leukemia. Of course, my brother-in-law said, you know, my brother turned white and every other color, and he said, that can't be. All I did was get hit in the head. You don't understand, doctor. I shouldn't be dying. And she said, yeah, you're going to die. You got leukemia. He said, but I'm not ready to die. I've got my daughter. I need to do some things. And she said, well, you got a few months. You got a few months. Go ahead and get ready. Thank God he got saved about 3 years earlier. So he was ready to go to heaven. He was ready to meet the Lord. Hezekiah was ready to meet the Lord. He was a faithful servant to a point. He knew the Lord. He trusted God. He trusted that God would provide. And as we know, he was looking toward the cross. We look back to the cross. But Hezekiah was a man who had trusted the Lord and had his faith in the Lord. But he was told he was fixing to die. There's lessons that we can learn from a dying king. That death is coming to all of us, and we need to be prepared. My brother, in one way, I guess, was lucky. He said he had 3 months to live, which it wound up he had a year to live because he took several treatments which extended his life. God allowed him to live, plus all the prayers that were poured up for him. Gave him the opportunity to live and set his house more in order as a Christian, as a father, and as a servant of the Lord. But Hezekiah was told, you're sick, but that sickness is going to cause you to die. We know that looking back at different people who have died, Adam, who was never born, he was created out of the dust of the earth, but he still died because of sin. We know that Methuselah lived to be 969 years. He didn't quite live a day in the sight of the Lord, because a day in the sight of the Lord is like 1,000 years. Eternity, time compared to eternity is nothing. But Methuselah didn't get to live a day in the sight of the Lord, so to speak. Samson was the strongest of all men at the time, but he died. Solomon was wiser than all, but he died. Death is a result of sin, and we know that. We know that this morning. As a church, as Christians, we've heard the messages time and time and time again. Jesus came to die to pay for our sins. Though he was sinless, he paid the ultimate penalty for death, for our sins. As we studied in 1 John this morning, chapter 2, and talked about the fact that we're children of God now because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Though he was sinless, he paid the ultimate penalty for death. He died as a substitute for sinners. His resurrection proves his victory over death. Faith in Christ assures everlasting life. We need to set our house in order. We need to prepare for death. We should set our business affairs in order. Family members ought to be protected. Loved ones ought to be provided for. And they shouldn't be left with debt. We should take care of our debt. We should be providing for those that we have under our care. We should also set our spiritual affairs in order. You know, Amos said to prepare to meet your God. Are you prepared this morning to meet your God? Are you prepared to meet our God this morning? If not, we need to be. We need to be prepared as Christians and those of you that are lost. We need to prepare by being born again. Faith in Christ prepares one both to live and to die. Jesus makes life worth living. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. We have an abundant life now, but we'll have an abundant life even more in the future. Amen? Christ has provided all things for us. The time of death is determined by the Lord. Sometimes we need to be reminded of that fact. The time of our death is not protected and provided by us. Yes, we need to drive careful. We need to drive the speed limit. We need to take the medication that's been provided for us. We need to do all that we can do. But the fact is that when the Lord says come home, we'll go home. Amen. No matter how careful we drive, no matter how careful we are about how we live, we need to be prepared to go on and be with the Lord, to see Him face to face. Hezekiah had been pronounced terminal, just like my brother was pronounced terminal, just like you and I today are pronounced terminal due to sin, due to the fact of sin. We will suffer death. We will suffer separation. Prayer, though, changes things. We know that prayer can change things. We prayed last week for those that were about to be operated upon. Miss Janice, Miss Pam. We did it according to the New Testament Scripture. We sought the Lord's will for their lives. We sought for the Lord to intervene and heal if He would. We sought for the Lord to intervene and help the healing once they went through their procedures, if that be the case. We sought the Lord's face concerning helping them as they went through these things in their lives. Prayer changes things. Hezekiah had already learned the value of prayer. He had prayed about the Assyrian army, which was going to attack Jerusalem, which was going to come and wipe them out. But we know that the Lord intervened. We know that the Lord sent an angel and that he wiped out. He caused 185,000 soldiers to die in one night. When Israel's army came, they didn't find anything but a bunch of corpses. Now, how that angel did it, I don't know. He could have just said, stop breathing. The power of an angel is, it's unbelievable. But it's still believable if we believe the Word of God. But Hezekiah prayed and sought the Lord's face in his life from time to time, as we do. We pray, Lord, give us this day. Lord, help us to make it through this day. Watch over our families. Watch over our friends, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Watch over our nation and our nation's leaders. Watch over our pastor and help him as he guides his flock. We pray and pray and pray. And we pray, Lord, help us as we go about our daily lives to be safe. We're looking at a man, though, that had a pronouncement of death. But God intervened. God heard his prayer much like he hears ours today. It's important that we pray. It's important that we seek the Lord's face. Amen? It's important that we cry out to the Lord in our needs and in the needs of others. There's been several who have died here of late. Tony mentioned a lady that a gravel truck hit her vehicle and died. Or somebody did. Excuse me. Johnny. All right. You mentioned the fact that the lady got hit by a gravel truck, suffered death. Now, I'm sure when she got in that car, if she was in a car, her last thought was, I'm going to get hit by a gravel truck. I'm going to suffer death. It's important that we be prepared to leave this life. It's not a fancy or wonderful sermon to declare. It's nothing great or fabulous or wonderful to share this morning, or even exciting to share, other than the fact is, as Christians, if we do die today, we'll be in heaven. We'll be walking streets of gold. We won't be suffering anymore. We'll be happy, happier than we've ever been in our lives. We'll know the true fact of complete joy, of complete health, of complete blessings. Now we know in part. One of these days, we're going to know in full, amen? We're going to know what heaven's really like. But we need to be prepared because of the shortness of this life. Not only can we see death by those things that are going on around us. A couple of weeks ago, I prepared to preach a funeral of a young man that was in his early 20s. He was driving at night, and he left the road and had an accident and died there in his car. Now, I'm sure his last thought was, he was going to meet some folks, and his last thought was, I'm going to lose control of this vehicle and leave the road and hit something and die. That was the last thing in his mind, I'm sure. I got ready and prepared to preach his funeral. And lo and behold, the grandmother who had driven up from Grenada, Mississippi to be with her family, be with her daughter because of the death of her son, she came up to be at the funeral. And before her grandson's funeral, she went in to lay down at about 10 o'clock at night and or 8 o'clock at night to rest because of the coming funeral. Well, she never did wake up. So I had to preach two funerals that week. This mother of this boy also lost her mother. They weren't prepared for those things to happen. It's quite a shock to lose two so closely. But the Lord knows what He's doing. We're in His hands. He knows when it's the right time for us. So we just need to be prepared to go as Hezekiah was prepared to go. He didn't want to die. I don't want to die today. I've got a great-grandchild coming. I want to be able to see that great-grandchild. Now, we just had one born a month ago. And 6 months before that, we had a grandson, a great-grandson born. So I want to continue to see them, be with them, and enjoy them, and be able to see the one that's on the way. Whether it's a boy or a girl, we don't know yet, and they don't either. So we want to plan out our lives. We want to enjoy life. Hezekiah, I'm sure, had a lot of things he wanted to do, but yet he was told he was fixing to die. And as he lay there on his sick bed, the Scripture shares with us and tells us this, that he turned his face to the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord, saying, I beseech thee, O Lord, remember now how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart or complete heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. Now, if a great illness does come, and we do get that message from the doctor, my brother got, you don't have very long to live. Get your house in order. Are we prepared, or can we say to the Lord in our prayer, as Hezekiah said, my heart is right. I've lived before you in the right way. I've been obedient. I've raised my children in the right way. And this day I'm ready to go, but I don't really want to go right now. I have some other things that I want to do. I have some other things that I want to see happen, physically speaking. Hezekiah sought the Lord in prayer. Remember now how I've walked before thee in truth with a perfect heart and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. We would weep too, wouldn't we? We would weep because of the fact that we'd be separated from our families. I remember when my mother was lying there in the hospital dying. She only had a few days to live, according to the doctors. And I was about to have prayer with us, with her and some of the other family members, and she said, pray for all those others. Frank, or Frankie is what I was called when I was younger. I dropped the IE because I got tired of hearing the song Frankie and Johnny were sweethearts. She said, pray for those others. Don't pray for me. Ask God to be with them and help them. And allow God to give His time to them because I'm fixing to go. And I said, well, Mother, I'm going to pray for you anyway because you need prayer. And we don't need to give up. Hezekiah didn't give up. even though he heard it verbally from the prophet as from the Lord, and we hear it from the Word of God, that death will come. You're born, you will die. Be prepared to die. Be prepared to leave this whole world. But be prepared also to ask the Lord, can I have another day? Can I have another year? Can I have another 15 years? I don't have any grandchildren right now, some of you might be saying. And I'd like to see that. My children aren't quite grown yet. And I'd like to see that. I'd like to get over this pain in this left foot. But I'd like to be able to see those things occur, physically speaking. I'd like to be able to see them smile and hear them talk. I'd like to be able to do some things before I come to be with you, Lord. After Hezekiah had prayed and after he had wept, God's wonderful answer to Hezekiah's prayer is this: I have heard thy prayer. Wouldn't you like to be able to hear the Lord say that? I have heard your prayer. I have heard your prayer. I have heard the prayers that have come up before me. I know that you're hurting. I have seen your tears, Hezekiah. I've seen the tears flow from your eyes. I know you're hurting, not only physically, but spiritually speaking. The Lord said, I will heal thee. What a great word from the Lord. Amen. I will heal thee. In fact, I will add 15 years to your life. That's amazing, isn't it? How good and how gracious the Lord is. The Lord tells us to make sure that we are prepared to meet God. Whether we're a Christian, whether we're a lost person, we need to be prepared. Are you prepared today? As we come and the invitation is given, I want to encourage you to stand with me, if you would, as I carefully go down those stairs. Stand with me, if you would, and consider, reconsider. Have the thoughts cross your mind and your heart, especially if you're here today and you're lost and you need to be saved. Before it's everlasting too late, we don't know when that gravel truck might get us. We don't know when we might lose control of the steering wheel. We don't know when we might catch a devastating disease. In this day and time, it's all around us. But for the Lord's grace and His goodness and kindness toward us, we're suffering very little today. We're able to be in His house. We're able to gather together and worship. We're able to gather together and hear His Word. It's a great thing to be able to know that the Lord loves us and cares for us. If you're lost today, I encourage you to be saved by trusting Jesus. I encourage you to come to Him before it's everlasting too late. Come before Him in prayer. Come before Him and ask Him to save you and to be your Lord and Savior today. And as a Christian, if things aren't right in your life, you need to rededicate your life. You need to dedicate more of your life to the Lord. If you need to come and kneel before Him today, you come as the Lord leads. Let the Lord's will be done.